the secret of death. What is the secret of death? Is adding to or subtracting from the word of God. Adding to the word of God or subtracting from the word of God brings death. What is death? The death referred to here is separation from God that leads to hell, fire. Any man that is separated from God, you are reserved for the lake of fire. Adding to or subtracting from the word of God, you saw the effect. God was separated from Adam and Eve. And it is the effect up to today on all the Adamic race. Just that little interference with the word of God. There is a written word of God, there is the spoken word of God. There is a written word of God and there is the spoken word of God. And the written word of God, God has reserved it in the Bible for us. And the spoken word of God, He does that through two means. Through the prophetic gift, where you hear, thus saith the Lord, from any prophet at all. Whether the person shall speak English or not, God is not a grammarian. What is the message? If it is from God, amen, don't add to the message and don't subtract from the message. This word of God I am telling you about, I am talking about the commandments of God. I'm not talking about you, message being given to you that next year you will marry. Say, don't add, don't subtract. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the commandment of God. When God gives His commandment, either through the written word or through a prophet, thus said the Lord to a man or a woman that you know God speaks through that vessel, you don't joke with it. Or through the gift of the word of knowledge, God speaks to every one of us. God speaks to every one of us. He will speak to us. That is why I disagree with the Pentecostals that they say that the gift that every Christian should have is speaking in tongue. No. I believe that the gift that every Christian must have and do have is the gift of the word of knowledge. That is God's gift to talk back to you when you talk to Him. When you hear God gives you an instruction, follow it, keep it, fulfill it to the letter. It is better I obey that false prophecy and end up seeing that it was false than for any reason doubt that it is of God, then not comply with it and die thereby. You know, if you give me a false prophecy and I act on it and it doesn't come to pass, you know, I am free. Judgment is upon the false prophet. But if a true prophet gives you a revelation and you don't keep it, the prophet is free. Judgment comes upon you. Church, there is the righteousness of God and there is a life of holiness. When the Bible says that without holiness, no man will see God. Listen. Amen. Holiness is only a part of righteousness. Righteousness is a right standing before God. And righteousness is not determined by you, by any man. Righteousness is determined by God. And that is the problem that Israel missed God. That was why they missed God. They desired their own righteousness instead of the righteousness of God. Therefore, they miss God. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation, revelation to revelation. The Jews, Pharisees, were a holy people, but they were not righteous. What is righteousness? Hallelujah. It was righteousness that for God to accept you under the Old Testament, when you commit sin for your sin to be cleansed, you bring an animal and slaughter it. And the blood is shed and your sins are atoned. It was given by God Himself. From faith to faith, from revelation to revelation. Now it was revelation now to move to the very image of that shadow. It was time for the New Testament. They were following the law to the letter, obeying God as God's righteousness, holiness. But when that same God now said, okay, let's move forward, they could not move forward. Therefore, keep washing, keep killing your animals. God has left you on your own. Praise God. And so it is even now. Hallelujah. That why we say the righteousness of God, that there are holiness believing churches today, and yet they are not, I repeat, they are not righteous as far as God's program is concerned. Why? Because the New Testament church, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Then he says something. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2 verse 20 says so. If he's the cornerstone, hallelujah, it means he is to tell us the next thing to do. Oh God. When it's time for justification, the move started. Move from justification to sanctification. You are still remaining in justification that he revealed to you. You could not move with him, the chief cornerstone. He's taking another corner to sanctification. You miss it if you don't follow him. We move to Pentecost again for the restoration of the gifts. And you are still holy, 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 John Wesley. Holy, 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 holy. And you refuse to accept the operation of the gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit in his church. You are on your own because the chief cornerstone has taken another corner and we are to follow him. The secret of death. Put your hands together for our God. Psalmist says, who is man that thou art so mindful of? Who is man? When I hear the creator of the heavens and the earth descend to my level and talk to me, it thrills me. Who am I? Galaxies that he has created. Planets that he has created. The great, great things he has created. Then a worm like me, the great creator of the heavens and the earth, we come to my level. Ah! He loves me. I cannot tell why. He loves me. I cannot tell why. Oh, Calvary. That's what I reflect on. that keeps me humble before this God. When I see how great this God is and he can descend to my level. I told you some time ago, I said, the prayer I pray to God, I say, Lord, keep me humble. And I know you have two ways of humbling your children. One is to use wahala, trouble, sickness, frustration. Then you will come back like the prodigal son. I say, Lord, don't use trouble to humble me. The second one he uses to humble us is that he reveals himself to you. When he reveals who he is, it humbles you. Apostle Paul suddenly discovered all his achievements. He counted them as what? Dung, for the excellence of the knowledge of who Jesus is. Praise God. He will descend and be dealing with man like a human being. I was standing here, the Lord was ministering to me. Somebody, you heard a voice say you should bring that offering. You brought offering, you were putting it by saying, bring it, go and drop it. And that person has accommodation problem. As the Lord was ministering to me. And the person has accommodation problem. And God comes down to give you instruction what to do. Amen. And you are battling. Make you not be saying in my mind. You see, you didn't obey that word. It's the person here. I didn't even want to call, give this revelation. Amen. Did you hear that revelation I gave? Who is man that thou art mindful of? You are the one, Abby.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
And he told you to drop that offering.
Yes, I had 150 in me, so I decided to drop 100 naira, but my mind wanted to drop all the money.
It's not your mind. He spoke to you to go and drop it. Yes. You decided not to drop it.
Yes.
You have accommodation problem.
Yes.
You are the one now. Amen. And he was giving you a key to answer your problem today. Praise the Lord. And you are going to miss that opportunity. He walks in ways we cannot see. You can't understand. He will make a way. Hallelujah. Anytime God gives you instruction to do anything, do it. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Be seated. Sit down. Sit down. Hallelujah. Listen very well. When you come to Bride Assembly, you have not gone to another denomination. You have been part of a move of God. I'll continue to stress it until the day somebody will catch the reason God directed you here. So that you will remain focused on the reason God brought you here. Amen. Listen very well. And I'm giving an exhortation on the secret of death. That's the title. The secret of death. And the secret of death is in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and verse 19. That is the secret of death. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. And the only book we know is the Bible. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him all the trouble, the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. What he's saying is, you will never have eternal life. What is the secret of debt? Is adding to or subtracting from the word of God. Adding to the word of God or subtracting from the word of God brings debt. What is debt? The debt referred to here is separation from God that leads to hell, fire. Any man that is separated from God, you are reserved for the lake of fire. The first commandment that God gave his children, praise the Lord. Understand it. It's in Revelation chapter, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17. Genesis chapter 2. When he created Adam and Eve, this was the first commandment. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He has reached his promised land, Abi. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. How did that death come? How did they eat from that fruit? This is what led them to eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil that produces death. Genesis chapter 3, from verse 1, maybe up to verse 4. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said? It's making reference to the word that God has spoken. Has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, this is what God is saying. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3 and verse 4. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye even touch it, lest you die. Now see the addition now, or the subtraction. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God said, ye shall surely die. But the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall die, thus said the Lord. Serpent, tell them, ye shall not surely die. And listening to that wrong message is that eating of that fruit. I have proved it before here. Adding to or subtracting from the word of God, you saw the effect. God was separated from Adam and Eve. And it is the effect up to today on all the Adamic race. Just that little interference with the word of God. And when we say the word of God, listen very well. There is a written word of God, there is the spoken word of God. There is a written word of God and there is the spoken word of God. And the written word of God, God has reserved it in the Bible for us. And the spoken word of God, he does that through two means. Through the prophetic gift, where you hear, thus saith the Lord, from any prophet at all. including Boboye, Prophet Boboye. Praise God. Whether the person Sabi speak English or not, God is not a grammarian. What is the message? If it is from God, amen, don't add to the message and don't subtract from the message. Amen. Now listen, this word of God I am telling you about, I am talking about the commandments of God. I'm not talking about you, message being given to you that next year you will marry. Say, don't add, don't subtract. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the commandment of God. When God gives his commandment, either through the written word or through a prophet, thus said the Lord to a man or a woman that you know God speaks through that vessel, you don't joke with it. Or through the gift of the word of knowledge, God speaks to every one of us. God speaks to every one of us. He will speak to us. That is why I disagree with the Pentecostals that say that the gift that every Christian should have is speaking in tongues. No, I believe that the gift that every Christian must have and do have is the gift of the word of knowledge. That is God's gift to talk back to you when you talk to him. He does it through the dreams you have, through the voice you hear, through the vision you see, or by that voice that speaks to you from inside. And that was the voice that spoke to that young man, and he thought it was his thought. When you hear God gives you an instruction, follow it, keep it, fulfill it to the letter. It is better I obey that false prophecy and end up seeing that it was false than for any reason doubt that it is of God, then not comply with it and die thereby. You know, if you give me a false prophecy and I act on it and it doesn't come to pass, you know, I am free. Judgment is upon the false prophet. But if a true prophet gives you a revelation and you don't keep it, the prophet is free, judgment comes upon you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Adding to or subtracting from the word of God that comes to you through that revelation or through the written word. Praise the Lord. And that is the problem with Christianity today. And that's why I want to take time and emphasize this. Believing that a genuine child of God that wants to live a life pleasing before God will catch something. Church, there is the righteousness of God. Listen. Amen. And there is a life of holiness. When the Bible says that without holiness, no man will see God. Listen. Amen. Holiness is only a part of righteousness. Righteousness is a right standing before God. And righteousness is not determined by you, by any man. Righteousness is determined by God. And that is the problem that Israel missed God. That was why they missed God. They designed their own righteousness instead of the righteousness of God. Therefore, they missed God. Apostle Paul said something in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And verse 17. It said, for in that gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From revelation to revelation. Revelation to revelation. The Jews, Pharisees, were a holy people, but they were not righteous. That is very deep. There are churches that believe in holiness today, but they are not righteous. What is righteousness? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It was righteousness that for God to accept you under the Old Testament, when you commit sin for your sin to be cleansed, you bring an animal and slaughter it. And the blood is shed and your sins are atoned. It was given by God Himself. From faith to faith. From revelation to revelation. Now it was revelation now to move to the very image of that shadow. It was time for the New Testament. They were following the law to the letter. Obeying God as God's righteousness. Holiness. But when that same God now said, okay, let's move forward. They could not move forward. Therefore, keep washing. Keep killing your animals. God has left you on your own. Praise God. And so it is even now. Hallelujah. We say the righteousness of God, that there are holiness believing churches today, and yet they are not, I repeat, they are not righteous as far as God's program is concerned. Why? Because the New Testament church, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Then he says something. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2 verse 20 says so. If he's the cornerstone, hallelujah, it means he is to tell us the next thing to do. Oh God. When it's time for justification, the move started. Move from justification to sanctification. You are still remaining in justification that he revealed to you. You could not move with him, the chief cornerstone. He's taking another corner to sanctification. You miss it if you don't follow him. He moved to Pentecost again for the restoration of the gifts. And you are still holy, 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 John Wesley. Holy, 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 holy. And you refuse to accept the operation of the gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit in his church. You are on your own because the chief cornerstone has taken another corner and we are to follow him. Listen very well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is something God is doing now. The rapture will soon strike. Listen. The rapture is likened to the harvest. When it was planting time, like a seed is planted. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Let me just do that quickly. Mark chapter 4, from verse 26. And he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. He's describing the church. And that seed was planted on the day of Pentecost. That was when the church of Jesus Christ was launched with 120 souls. Exactly with that sign of stammering lips in Isaiah 28. It was fulfilled to the letter. The next verse. Hallelujah. The next verse. So I'm reading that parable. You are planted and time goes on. That is what I mean by that. I should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up. The process of that seed that was planted to grow up, you know it not how. This is how it happens. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. There is a working of a power that has been released there inside that seed that was planted. When he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Why? Because there is a power that is released there. On that seed. Amen. Let's read on. What is the first thing that comes out? First, the blade. Then, the ear. After the full corn in the ear, I've explained this several times. There are the three works of grace. The seed that died, that was planted on the day of Pentecost, died. It must die. I'll come to that in reference to my exhortation. But I only want to stress a point here. That seed begin to grow again until the seed that was planted. Hallelujah. How will you know that it is time for harvest? The seed that was planted. Listen very well. I'll continue to stress this. Especially those of us who believe we have a calling. Especially those of us who come to Bride Assembly and all you see here is anointing as a certificate to go and open your shop and begin to chop. This is not what this ministry is all about. This is what this ministry is. You see people sitting down here, clapping hands, jumping and falling under anointing. Some of them are intellectuals. Some of them are graduates in the universities. Some of them very educated. And you think that they are following. That is the mystery of salvation. But as time we go on, you will soon discover who among those 70 that were following Jesus, who they really are. Where their mind is different. Somebody will come to a ministry like this. What did you come here for? What did you come here for? I told the IT department, I said, please, on the Prime Television, apart from live service like this, where you are playing our messages, please, don't show the power side of my ministry. Concentrate on the teaching. Because the power side will attract the wrong crowd. I say, power there everywhere. If you are looking for power, nowhere to go. Go, go. The food there. Is there worry? Is there Ikotu? There Auchi? Is there Abuja? They're everywhere. They're full everywhere. Even our neighbor here, the power. God will choose you. Answer prayer. Go there. Power. Go to a mountain of fire. You do 5 days dry fasting, the enemy will die. Go there. Amen. Stop wasting your time here. The market I have to sell here is not anointing. It's a revelation. Revelation. That's the market I'm selling here. Let me tell you, I know the grace I carry. If I am to package that grace, this church go full with, you can't pack inside this compound. The grace I know I have. But that is it. It's the children's meat. It is the children's meat. So if I have that grace, I want to impart it on you. I want, that's what, I like to hear people testify. Every time Pastor Moses pray for me, Pastor Moses pray for me. You don't get mouth. You know they read the Bible. You don't get Holy Ghost. They write my name for Bible. Amen.